We turn this morning to this psalm that we just sang, Psalm 67. Let me read it in your hearing. May God be gracious to us and bless us, and make His face to shine upon us, Selah, that Your way may be known on earth, Your saving power among all nations. Let the peoples praise You, O God. Let all the peoples praise You. Let the nations be glad and sing for joy, for You judge the peoples with equity and guide the nations upon earth. Let the peoples praise You, O God. Let all the peoples praise You. The earth has yielded its increase. Our God, God, our God, shall bless us. God shall bless us. Let all the ends of the earth fear Him. This is the word of the Lord. Amen. Amen. Please be seated. Today we turn to Psalm 67. How did we get here? We're just a minute for that. You see, we're talking about this idea of defiant humility. It's a strange connection of two terms. But we got it from 1 Peter. We finished a series on 1 Peter. For those of you who are not here every week, we finished just 2 weeks ago a series on 1 Peter. And at the end of that, we saw this call to humble ourselves before God under His mighty hand. And in line with that, there is this also we were to resist the devil, standing firm in the faith. And I'm taking those two thoughts and combining them into this idea of defiant humility. We are to be defiant, not in the sense of defiant toward God any longer, not in defiance to the civil authorities, Romans 13 tells us that, not in defiance toward people out there around us, but resisting the devil by standing firm in our faith. We are to humble ourselves. It's all in the context of humility under God, that we are in this world and we live in this world, humbling ourselves before God and resisting the devil, standing firm in our faith. We said we're making, now that we're finished with 1 Peter, for 2 weeks, we're going to consider that theme in one application, how we do that in our worship. That public worship is one of the primary ways, not the only, there's many ways, but that we together live that out. Live out humbling ourselves before God. Live out resisting the devil by standing firm in the faith. We gather to celebrate God in the midst of a world that's broken. It doesn't call us to worship. It doesn't call us to trust God. But we, week in and week out, gather in the name of Christ and we humble ourselves before Him. We listen to His Word. We stand firm in the faith. And so it's a really important aspect of doing what Peter calls us to do as a people. We're making the application of seeing this pattern of worship each week as two parts of that. We're only going to talk about two parts. We could do that throughout the whole service, and maybe someday we'll do that. We're only doing two parts. We're doing the two movements of coming into worship and then going from worship. Last week we talked about coming into worship, and we talked about the call to worship. You heard an echo of that this morning when we did the call to worship. I was trying to remind you what we said last time, right? I'm not going to do that every week. But saying the call to worship is that moment each week in our life that we gather together and we learn more and more why it's so important to be together here if we can be, online if we need to be, but to gather together and hear God again. He speaks first. He acts first, always. And so we hear again that in the midst of the troubles of this week, that call again, I want You to come. I want You to worship Me. I want You to find Your joy in Me. Maybe you lost that this week. I want Your joy to be found in Me. I want You to know I'm sustaining You. Maybe you forgot that. Maybe you didn't feel like you were being sustained this week. It's a moment to hear that, to reaffirm that, and then to respond in faith and to come. We use Psalm 100 to remember that. As we learn these disciplines, I think we'll start to appreciate our worship more and more, but also it will begin to be patterns then that will spill out into the rest of our life when we're not together. That's my goal. But here, now today, we turn to the second thing, the going. There's a second movement always in our worship. We gather according to God's call, and as we're here, He feeds us, He enthralls us with himself again. He reminds us who he is. We speak it to one another, but then he always, until he comes again, on that great day, this part will be ended. But until then, he sends us back out into our life, renewed, ready to serve him. I want to see you see that in Psalm 67, because it's a pattern of faith that is also part of our worship. It's been part of the worship of God's people from the beginning, and we see it, this, the particular shape that it takes in the covenant community in Psalm 67. I want you to appreciate that today in seeing it here. Let's look at just three things in Psalm 67 today. First, it begins with the certainty and the celebration of God's blessing. God blesses us in Christ. It's the first thing that we see as this psalm opens. Let me turn to it in my Bible so I can have it in front of me as we consider it. May God be gracious to us and bless us and make his face to shine upon us. Verse 1. What they're doing there, as you can, is evident as you see that, is they're taking up what was the priestly blessing in the Old Testament. It's not a word-for-word kind of slavish just reiteration of it, but it's a meditation on that blessing that God gave to Aaron and the priesthood, that he said, when my people gather in worship, and when they go, I want you to put my name on them. And so this, we often use it in our benedictions. We plan to use it this morning. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. That from Numbers chapter 6, that priestly blessing, they're meditating on it. And when they gather, it shapes how they understand who God is and what God has promised them in the covenant and what he is giving to them. And they're celebrating that he has done this. And I want you to see three things out of that blessing. There's a promise and a celebration of a remembrance of God's promise to be gracious. It's the grace. We have a name in English that comes out of the same Hebrew word. Hannah means grace, right? We use that with our daughter, and it's this remembrance that God, when we draw near, is a God who is gracious. He is kind. The old Geneva Bible, an ancient English translation, speaks of having compassion on us, having pity of us here. That idea that God, when we draw near, is not calling us to himself to condemn us, but he is gracious. And so there's a celebration. May God be gracious to us. And may he bless us. The second part of that that's coming out of the Numbers benediction, may he bless us. The language here is someone who has something, sees someone in need, and they come to meet that need. And here, God, we see, has this call saying, I will be your God. I will come, and I will deliver you, and I will be your God. And they're celebrating that he has promised that deliverance, that he will bring his blessing, that when he is present, when he comes near, when he delivers us, then we can have success in living in his world, and we can flourish in the Spirit. He will bless us. May he bless us. We're gathering together. We heard the call, and now we're celebrating, asking him to do what he's promised, remembering the promise, asking for the promise. And make his face shine on us. The third of four things from the benediction, he meditates on three of them here, calls us to sing three of them here. Make his face shine upon us. Now, that's the language in this older time of face being shining, right? Is that face turned towards you? Esther saw a shining face when she went to the king, trembling, because God had sent her there to speak to him, and he held out the scepter. He was favorable toward her. He said, you are safe with me. I am for you. When Moses went up and got the Ten Commandments, he came down, and when he came out of the tabernacle, sometimes his face would shine. It's a remembrance that he met with God, but it's also a remembrance God's remains. It's a promise of presence. The physical presence there, remaining, saying, God still is with us. And you know, these three promises that they're celebrating here are not just ancient promises, but they're fulfilled promises in the gospel. And isn't that wonderful? As we gather, we remember these things that God has been gracious to us in sending His Son. The law was given through Moses, grace and truth through Jesus Christ. As we gather each week, we can celebrate God's grace because we see His grace in the sending of His Son to us. When our circumstances don't look like God is being gracious, we come back together and we remember that when we were lost, when we were in the darkness, God sent His Son, the light of the world, to us. He is gracious, and we remember it again. We affirm it again. We find our hope in it again. That God would bless us. Paul talks about that, how in Christ, every spiritual blessing is ours now in Him. He goes through a whole list in Romans chapter, in Romans, doesn't he? Where he says, you know, the redemption, and he talks about the inheritance and the adoption of as sons. He talks about all these many blessings that are ours that will never be removed. And again, the fulfillment of what has always been longed for, what God has always promised, that He would bless us, that now we can walk in the step with the Spirit because of the Spirit of Christ given to us, and we remember His blessing. We can live in God's world aright. We still fail, we still struggle, and yet we can because the Spirit has been given to us. He will bless us and make His face shine upon us. The presence promise was most fulfilled in the coming of Jesus into this world, who tabernacled, who lived among us, God's face shining on us. And He then also then comes and reminds us that He remains with all who call on His name. Do you remember those promises? Go into all the world, preach the gospel. Why? I will be with you always till the very end of the age. You remember in Hebrews, don't worry about your life. God will provide for you. Never will I leave you. Never will I forsake you. His promise of His face shining on us, not turning from us, not frowning against us, but shining on us. It's the hope of the gospel fulfilled. The hope, the celebration of 67, Psalm 67, fulfilled in the gospel. Well, first, God blesses us in Christ. The second thing I want you to see here is goes on in verse 2. And that is that we begin to reflect Him then in the earth. And I want to get at that. Look at verse 2. It begins with the word in English, that. Let's read up to there. May God be gracious to us and bless us and make His face to shine upon us, that. He's giving us a reason for a purpose. The reason that He's blessing us. God is blessing us so that, what? So that your way may be known, that your saving power is known. What He's telling us is as He works in our life of blessing, He's doing it, yes, for your good, yes, for our good, yes, that we might know Him, but even greater, there's a bigger picture going on. He does it that His way would be known. That is, as you live in the world under His mercy, as you find forgiveness, and becoming a forgiving person, as you begin to be gracious to others, God's way is being seen in the earth. As you find forgiveness in Christ and find blessing by knowing Him and joy in knowing Him and forgiveness of your sins, and as you are forgiving to others and you begin to tell them of these things, God's saving power is known in the earth. You see, we live in verse 1. Don't you live in verse 1? Lord, bless me. That's usually your prayer, right? My prayer. Lord, bless me. And there's a powerful announcement that the God who made us loves us and wants us to know Him and has blessed us in Christ. But we so rarely get to verse 2. What did you ask for from God this week? Lord, I don't know what I should do in this situation at my work. Give me wisdom to do that well. Lord, help me to make enough money to get by. Lord, help my family to function better. And why did you ask that? Mostly it's verse 1, right? Because I want to be happy. I want to love God. I want to see His... I just want my life to be successful. But do you know, Psalm 67 reminds us, there's a verse 2. And He calls us, in asking for the things that we desire, to not just so that we're happy, not just so that we're successful, not just so that we're benefited by it, but that God is actually blessing His people in the spiritual way that is described in Scripture. Why? So that others might see and know His saving grace and His mercy. That they might, in the earth, while we stay here before He brings us home, that we become a reflection of the mercy of God. Not us, but that His presence with us, even in our struggles and failures, His presence remaining, He is known in the earth, He is seen in the earth, and His gospel is heard. So why do you ask God things? Do you ever move to verse 2? So that others would know your way. As you more and more live from Scripture, we talked about in Sunday school today, more and more making our lives governed by Scripture. What is the goal of that? What is the point of that? What is the hope in that? Just so that your life works better? And that's part of it. But do you ever go on to verse 2 that others would know you as they see your ways and the worth of living your way? As they see your forgiveness when I fail, will others come to know? We begin to reflect Him in the earth, that His ways become known. Well, I want to move on quickly here to the third point. Psalm 67, then, throughout the rest of the psalm, as it orients us to why God blesses us, it is for our benefit, but it's much more. It's so that the world would see His ways in the earth. It's so the world would see His salvation. Now, the rest of the psalm, then, we find what I'm going to call in verse 3, we embrace God's all nations mission. We embrace God's all nations mission. I want you to see that by looking at verses 3 to 5, which is the center of the song, the center of the song we just sang. It begins in verse 3 and ends in verse 5 with an inclusio, the same thing twice, and then it wraps the middle with that same phrase, let the peoples praise you. You see now how he turns? In verse 2, His way being known on earth, His saving power becomes all nations. On earth means the people of all of the world. And so that begins to be fleshed out now in verses 3 to 5. Here is the hope as God's people stand among in worship together, as they begin to sing of God's mercy, they begin to understand God's all nations interest in the world. They begin to understand God's desire for all the world to know. We saw glimpses of that in the Old Testament, right? Over and over, when God brings His judgment or when He shows His salvation, what does He say over and over? That they may know that I am the Lord. Isaiah and Habakkuk talk about the knowledge of the Lord covering the earth as what? The waters cover the sea. And we begin to recognize as we more and more study His Word that God has this all nations interest. And the mission of salvation that Jesus comes to accomplish and He gives to His people is an all nations kind of mission. And it's here in worship that we begin to have a heart for that. Let the peoples praise You, O God. I've received this benefit. You've blessed us. And now we want Your way, Your law to be known in the world. We want Your power of saving to be known, not just here, not just by us, but by our neighbors, by the world around us, the peoples. Let all the peoples, in fact, it's not just those nearby, but those far away as well. Verse 5 repeats it. Let the peoples praise You, O God. Let all the peoples. Verse 4, in the middle of that, keeps going. The nations and the people. But what do they do? We want them to be glad and sing for joy. And so it's a song of salvation. Finding their joy in God and finding their Redeemer in the Son. In Christ, as we know now in the New Testament. It's a joyous celebration, not just acknowledging, over the pain of death after severe blow by a sovereign God that they'll acknowledge him. No, we want them to find joy and gladness because they've come to know him as merciful and Savior. And they've come to see that he will treat the peoples of all nations just like he has treated his covenant people. Equity, the same way he will be gracious as we come to him and call on his name. And he will govern the earth, not just his people in the earth, but the earth, every people. He will treat them as one. Now, they didn't understand yet quite how that would happen, but we do. So this song becomes the song of our lips as we begin to sing in worship of a God who has saved us. We begin to get a sense of his missionary outlook, his all nations interest, and we begin to celebrate it around the throne. Let all the peoples, what we've received, what your Old Testament, Old Covenant people received, may all the peoples understand and know that you know this. But then it moves to verse 6 and 7. There's a sense that you feel like at the end of verse 5, okay, we're done, it's over, end. But then it picks up again. The earth has yielded its increase. It shows us this is probably part of a hymn that was sung at the end of the harvest, right? But it's not specifically directed only to that, because it becomes the spiritual harvest as well. It becomes what God has yielded in terms of spiritual fruit as he's brought blessing and salvation to us through the gospel. The earth has yielded its increase. God, our God, now it's our God. Now, one little aside, just for a moment. In Psalm 100, whenever we talked about the Lord, it was the covenant name, Yahweh. Remember we said about the capital L-O-R-D? And they were celebrating that God had kept his covenant promises to them, that we have come in Christ and we've known this God. But in this psalm, the word God is always that bigger, broader, more generic name for God. And I think it's intentional, not just because it's from different time periods and they use different names, but because he's speaking to the world here that didn't know, didn't receive the oracles of God like the Jews did. And he's showing them there's hope for all people that would come and answer by the coming of Christ into the world and by the sending of Christ of his people into the world, right? But look how it happens in verse 6. As they're celebrating the joy of this God who has reached them and hasn't stopped with them, but he has planned and pledged to redeem a people from all nations, then they end with this embrace of that vision, of that mission, of that God's worldwide interest. The earth has yielded its increase. God, our God, shall bless us. He won't forget his promise. He shall bless us. And now he goes on to verse 2 in his blessing, right? He didn't stay in verse 1. They remember verse 1, God shall bless us. But now it goes on, let all the ends of the earth fear him. Let all the ends of the earth worship him. It ends in this embracing of that vision that God is working to reach all nations through the gospel. And it's saying, we want to be part of that. Let all the nations hear. We're embracing the blessing that God has given us, but we realize there's a reason that his way is known, that his gospel is heard, the saving power is known. And we want to be part of that. That's a transition that Paul made, I think, right? When he came to faith in Christ. He was rising in the ranks among his people. He was zealous for the Jews. He wanted to preserve the heritage of the Jews. But then he came to know Christ, the one who was the fulfillment of these things. His eyes were open to a larger world, to a larger work, a larger concern. He had new eyes to see God's work in all peoples. And verses 6 and 7, I think, do the same thing for all of God's people. It gives us the opportunity and the invitation to begin to have these new eyes for those who are outside the gospel right now. Maybe it's your neighbor. Maybe it's your friend. Maybe it's a family member. Maybe it's someone you're going to see at work. Maybe they're nearby. Maybe they're far away. Maybe they're in other nations. That's why part of our service every week, we pray for a people group where the gospel is not heard very well and very clearly. And we pray that God would send the gospel there. Some of you may go in answer to that prayer to other places. And that's why missions are important. Greg is going to start forming the missions committee. We want you to, we have some missionaries, but we want to support them better. We want to see how we can be engaged in missions and elsewhere. But you know, we have a unique moment here historically as well, because the nations are here as well. We used to think missions is going somewhere else, but missions is going outside this door. We are Gentiles. Your neighbors, no matter where they were born, are most likely Gentiles. Some may be Jewish, and they need the gospel too, but most of them are Gentiles. Your people group is probably a Gentile. And so your neighbors need the gospel and need to hear. They're part of all peoples. But there are people from other people groups who live near you. If I look at our, several blocks around our house, we have, even in our street, we have people from China, we have people from Eastern Europe, we have people from Colombia, we have people from India, we have people from Nepal. What an opportunity to see the answer to this psalm and to be a people who proclaim him and invite everyone who lives near here, whether they began here at their birth or came here for work or came here from someplace far away, to say, come. The God who made you loves you and wants you to come to him. He is merciful, and you can find mercy in his Son. Will you come with me to worship him? That is, we begin to embrace a God who has interest in all the world. And so we begin to embrace God's all nations mission. We have an ordination this morning, so I want to stop there. But I just want you to think now with one application. Each week, as we have a benediction to conclude the service, just like I asked you with the call to worship, not to think of it as just, okay, here's how we start the service. So now I have to start listening. But the benediction isn't just, okay, this is how we end the service, so now I can go. But I want you to hear in that and recognize in that that we are, the benediction pronounces God's name and his blessing on you so that you can move into verse 2, that you can go out from here and you can make his way known. That's live in your callings and in your vocations in a way that pleases God, but it's also speaking the gospel to others and showing his saving power. It's also taking the gospel to all nations. And I hope in our time as we worship together, we embrace the God who has this worldwide interest, and that when you stand for the benediction and I pronounce his blessing on you, you recognize it's so that his way might be known on the earth, and so that you go and serve him this coming week. Again and again, it's a weekly reminder that we are here. God has blessed us, but he's also sending us. We have come, and now we go until he comes again. One day, we'll be together forever, but we'll go now that his name and his way might be known where he sends me. Amen. Father, thank you for loving us, we who were far from you. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for coming among us, we who were so unlike you. You became like us so that you could offer yourself for us. Oh, Holy Spirit, thank you for coming and bringing Jesus and all he has done, reminding us, equipping us, thrilling us with who God is and what he has done for us. So now, as you send us, help us to walk with you and proclaim him, that all the peoples, that all peoples around us, that all peoples of all nations might one day know you, serve you, and find hope in you. Lord, that's our desire. Would you lead us even in this week? Use your word to give us these new eyes for people around us. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. We come this morning to the Lord's table, and maybe this is something that might help reshape what you think about when you're here as well. We remember God's blessing to us. Without Christ coming, we would remain in the darkness. We would remain in condemnation by God. John is clear, you know, that if we don't come to Christ, God's wrath remains on us. If you're not one of his today, don't take this, which is the sign and seal of that promise, but instead, hear the gospel. Go to our worship booklet. What page is it this week? It might be page 10. And you can read more about it. And talk to someone afterwards. And what is this gospel? What is this good news about Jesus that I need to know about? And so let it pass, but we're glad you're here to see this. But if you're here today, what does this psalm, what has the Lord said to you in this psalm? Maybe it's you need to realize your need to be here more regularly. Maybe it's just that. And you say, I need to appreciate worship more. And this has renewed my interest in that. Maybe it's, I need to value and appreciate what Christ has done for me. I need to recognize that grace that is mine and live in that grace. I need to remember, thinking Jesus is going to the cross, I need to remember his favor is on me, the light of his countenance, his face is shining on me, and I leave from here with his blessing. Maybe that's what you need to really remember and work into your life. Or maybe it's, Lord, I don't have these new eyes for the people around me. I'm just happy for you to bless me and so I can be happy. Well, let the cross remind you, as he calls us to take up our cross and follow him, that there's more to his love to you than just your personal happiness. And maybe ask him for new eyes, that you might be a blessing to others around you as you live out his ways and as you proclaim his gospel of saving power. The Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, took the bread and he said, not thinking of only his own good, his own happiness, but he said, this is my body which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. He also took the cup after the supper, and he said, this cup is the new covenant in my blood, which is shed for many, for the forgiveness of sins. Drink from it, all of you. Lord, we thank you today for this meal. Oh, Father, equip us as Jesus hosts this meal for us. And we ask that you would strengthen us by your Spirit. We thank you that Jesus died for us. And without his death, we could not have this conversation because we would be barred from your presence. But now in him, we have found your gates open wide. And we come to receive by faith. We come to ask you for your equipping strength. We come to ask you for renewing in him. We come to ask for your forgiveness again. Would you strengthen us? Would you, in our fellowship together around this table with you, cause us to delight in you and acquire those new eyes that the people of Psalm 67 knew? May we know that too. For we ask in Jesus' name, amen.